Next case, please.
Thank you. The next application is 11619. Michael Saunders seeks a special use exception for a garage studio apartment, section 115-32C and 115-210A3A of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The property is located on the south side of Martin Lane, approximately 57 feet west of Truett Avenue. The 911 address is 102 Martin Lane, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is MR. The tax map is District 334, Map 12, Parcel 145.01. We have received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, and we did receive two mail returns. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Michael Saunders, 102 Martin Lane, Rehoboth Beach.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, board members. Chad Meredith with Hudson Jones, Shaywark & Fisher in Rehoboth Beach, representing your applicant here tonight, Mr. Michael Saunders. As was just read, this is an application for a special use exception for a garage and or studio apartment located at 102 Martin Lane. I've also just given you sort of a little exhibit book of some supporting documents, the first of which, Exhibit 1, is a property card, and looking at the back of the property card, you'll notice that the age of the property is approximated at 1954. And kind of coinciding with that, and a short trace and title back, the current owners, Michael Saunders and Lori Ann Jackman, acquired the property by deed dated August 8th, 2014, so just about a year ago, from George Chiartis. That deed's recorded here with the Office of the Recorder of Deeds for Sussex County in Deed Book 4298, page 18. When the current owners purchased the property, it was showed to them with two units. They were aware of the second unit in the dwelling, which has brought about tonight's special use exception request. But at the time, it was thought to be a pre-existing non-conforming use, partly due to the fact that the property card is, again, reflects an age of 1954. George Chiartis originally acquired the property along with lot 41 of Truett's Midway development. This lot is lot 40 of Midway's Truett's Midway development. That deed was recorded in book 2022, page 225, and was dated December of 1994. Mr. Chiartis's purchase was from Maxine Mole, who acquired the lots 40 and 41 from William McManus and Deborah McManus in September of 1972. That is of record in deed book 688-956. William McManus acquired these same two lots in November of 1969 from Irvin and Madeline Pleasanton. That deed is in deed book 650, page 83. And the Pleasantons acquired the property from James and Dorothy Truett, who I imagine set up Truett's Midway development. That deed was dated 1954 and is of record in deed book 437-210. In taking this trace of title back and looking at the property card, it's a little bit unclear as to who owned the property when the dwelling was actually first constructed. As I mentioned, the property card indicates it was built in 1954 with a question mark next to that date. The deed into the Pleasantons, which again was done in 1954, does not make mention of any improvements to the land. However, their out deed to Mr. McManus in 1969 does include a mention of improvements on the land. In any event, the property is understood to have been used, having this second unit for quite some time. Mr. McManus, again, who originally acquired the property in 1969, was recently contacted as this sort of red flag popped up that there was a zoning question. He stated that he originally converted the dwelling that he purchased in 1969, sometime in late 1969 or early 1970, just after buying it. It was a two-story dwelling, and he basically converted the second floor into a second-floor apartment. He sold that property to Ms. Mole in 1972, and to his knowledge, it still had the second unit, and she continued to use it as such. Mr. McManus has signed an affidavit stating those, most of those claims, all of those claims, And that is attached in your book at Exhibit 2, and also has two attachments to it, which are the deed into him and the deed out from him. And so not only did he sell the property in 1972 with the second unit still in use, as I also mentioned, in 2014, when the applicant purchased the property, there was still a second unit above on the second floor. And in fact, the applicant did bring in some photos today. I'm sorry, I don't have copies for everyone to receive one, but I will just pass let you pass this one around. And this photo is basically a picture of the back of the house, which shows two electric boxes. It's unknown to the applicant how long it's been, those two boxes have been there, but I'm sure they've been there for quite some time, as there have been two units since 1969. They're clearly marked. One is marked number one, one is marked number two. There's also a Delmarva Power statement that they brought in, which gives service addresses of 102 Martin Lane number B and 102 Martin Lane number A. Since this is a Delmarva Power bill, I assume that they're going to want this back. It is an original, so I'll hold on to it. But Delmarva Power issues this as two units. And what basically happened was the applicant put in a building permit for a deck some time ago. That deck permit was issued. They built the deck. And at the time that they put in the deck, they were told any further work done to the house, of course it's very old, would have to be permitted. So the applicant came back in seeking permits to remodel two kitchens. That's what sort of flew up a red flag that there were two units in the property. But again, the use has been in effect since at least 1969. I originally brought in Mr. McManus's affidavit, hoping to avoid the hearing. I've always been told about 1969-ish is when the zoning code first took effect. Rusty actually let me know he's been told 1968. I'm not sure when it happened. I don't know if any of you gentlemen know what year the zoning code went into effect. And even assuming a zoning code, I'm not sure that it always spelled out garage or studio apartments or the differentiations between one unit or two units. And then turning to the standards of relief for a special use exception, the applicant must first of all show that the special use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. As I said, Mr. McManus's affidavit, which again is at Exhibit 2, states he converted the second floor of the dwelling into a second unit in late 1969 or early 1970, subsequently sold the property with that use of the second unit continuing. The property was shown in 2014 with that use still in place. And again, that was some 44 years later, basically. The applicant isn't seeking to change the use of the property. It's basically just to continue the use as it's been in place since late 1969 or early 1970. Therefore, this request, I don't think, could be considered to adversely affect neighboring properties. Further, at Exhibit 3, Rick Alamong, he is a licensed realtor involved with many real estate transactions in Sussex County, and has been doing so since 1995. He's familiar with the property and the surrounding area. He signed an affidavit, which appears at Exhibit 3, stating that, in his opinion, the two-unit use of the property doesn't substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent properties, nor does it negatively impact surrounding property values. Further, I do have three copies here of a letter dated August 2nd, 2015, to whom it may concern. We, the undersigned, have no opposition to the proposed changes to the property located at 102 Martin Lane. Those changes are, as I mentioned, just a remodel of the two kitchens. Again, this is a very old dwelling, currently owned by Michael Saunders. We feel that the proposed changes to the property will increase the aesthetic value of our neighborhood. This is signed by three individuals residing at 105 Martin Lane, 106 Martin Lane, and 103 Painter Lane, all very neighboring properties. So again, I believe this letter supports that this continued use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent properties. The second standard of relief is that the applicant must also meet any other special criteria which may apply to the specific type of special use exception being requested. Garage studio apartments are defined in the Sussex County Zoning Code as not having more than 800 square feet of floor area. Again, this unit is the second floor of the existing dwelling. The original survey that was performed prior to the applicant's acquisition of the property back in 2014 is at Exhibit 4. When looking at that, I noticed that it was a little difficult to, without doing some mathematics and some scaling, to exactly figure out the footprint of the building. However, I did call True North today, requested that they snap distances and basically dimension the property. So at Exhibit 5, you see an updated survey, which shows the dwelling at 24 by 30. So that second floor unit is 720 square feet, which is below the 800 square foot threshold for garage or studio apartment. Furthermore, under section 115.32 of the county code, dealing with special use exceptions for properties zoned as MR, which this property is, at subsection C, there's a requirement that garage studio apartments have at least one parking spot, which is provided for the exclusive use of any tenants, and that parking spot must be on premises. Looking at the survey, you see a long driveway and an asphalt, or I'm sorry, a gravel sort of parking lot there. I've also got a picture of that. And that picture shows two cars parked in the gravel area. It looks to me like there's probably room for three. The applicant has let me know that the driveway has room for three vehicles, and any tenants, he would basically give them the use of the driveway, and they would continue to use the gravel area. So again, they've met the one parking spot that needs to be provided for the exclusive use of the tenant. And beyond that, there are no other special requirements for garage studio apartments in MR zoning under either section 115.32C, nor are there any other requirements in section 115.210 of the county code, which deals more generally with special use exceptions. And if I could, Mr. Saunders, if you could just step up and just state your name for the record, please.
Michael Saunders.
And I know it's been a long night for you, but hopefully I didn't bore you too terribly and you were able to listen to the statement of facts and circumstances at the property that I just went through.
Correct.
And are those are true and correct?
Yes.
Thank you. I have nothing further, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's see if there's any questions from members of the board. We'll start down there with you, Mr. Mills, please.
No questions.
No questions, Mr. Mills. Mr. Hudson.
No questions.
No questions, Mr. Hudson. Mr. Rickard.
Oh, you did a very good job. No questions.
Mr. Morton.
No questions.
I have no questions. Hearing no further questions, then. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Correct that to two. Hearing no opposition, chair will entertain a motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11619. The applicant certainly has demonstrated that there isn't any opposition to the applicant's special use exception, and also has stated the special use exception will not affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 11619. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickard?
Aye for the reasons I stated.
And Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reason have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11619 is approved.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Have a good night. Yes, sir. You too.